inspired by the Holy Ghost.
And this same Holy Ghost is here tonight to teach me, to lead me, to guide me into great truth, which I will never lose nor leave behind. I will fill up in the power of the Holy Ghost. I will understand and not depart from the true Word of God in Jesus' name and in the name of Jesus. We pray that we may hear and receive what the Spirit has for the church and what the Spirit has for the receiver and the believers. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. You may be seated around the church tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Tonight, we're going to start again. Foundation, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to focus just on verses 3 and 4. Where it said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So what is Paul establishing? Three basic points of doctrine. Jesus the Christ. Jesus, the one who died on the cross for the redemption of our sins. Jesus, the one who rose on the third day. Let's look at Acts 17:1 for a second. Acts 17:1. Actually, verse 3. Where it said, opening in the legend, that Christ, one, Christ, two, must needs have suffered death on the cross and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is who? Christ. So what is Paul establishing here? Paul is establishing Jesus the Christ, the cross, and the resurrection. This is the foundation of doctrine. Now, last night, we saw how Peter, on the day of Pentecost, really preached about the reality of the resurrection, which is what the Spirit really wants us to grasp a hold of. The resurrection is a vital piece of Christian doctrine. As we will see as we move through this message, the resurrection was a key preaching point regardless of who the minister was. It was as if the resurrection really separated Christianity. And if you think about it, between Jesus being the Christ, between the shed blood of the cross and the resurrection, you got something that's totally and completely radically different than any of the religious movement that really the earth has seen. Book of Acts chapter 3. In the early part of the chapter, we are familiar with Peter's visit at the gate beautiful to the man who was lame for his entire life. And we know what Peter said. "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And the man did just that. What happened? Well, the man was jumping and leaping all over the place. A crowd began to gather. And for the second time, Peter is going to have to give an impromptu sermon regarding what had just happened. In the book of Acts chapter 3, let's start with verse 12 for a moment. And when Peter saw it, the crowd gathering, he answered and said unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His Son, Jesus, whom He delivered up, and denied Him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." Verse 14. "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." Verse 15. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath" what? "Raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." So what do we see? What are the disciples, the apostles, the followers of Jesus? What are they that no one else in that audience is? They are witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. When we look at the resurrection of Jesus in connection with what happened on the cross, it is the resurrection that tells us that the blood of Jesus washed us from our sins. It is the receipt of what Jesus did on the cross. The resurrection is our receipt, our proof that this happened. Verse 16. "And by His name, through faith in His name, we have made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So why is this man healed? Because of Jesus. Now, for the sake of time, I want us to start focusing a little further down in this message to chapter 4, verse 2. When Peter finished the message by saying unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquity. The first part of that verse was what? It was having raised up His Son. Having raised up Jesus from the dead. Why can we be turned away from our iniquity and sins? God raised Jesus from the dead. Chapter 4, verse 1. "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." Let's hold here for a second. Sadducees, they were sad, you see. But they're also the ones who do not believe in the resurrection. Are we together on this? These Sadducees, they did not believe in a supernatural anything. And when it came to the resurrection, they dug in their heels and fought against it. That's why we see verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the what? The resurrection of the dead. Now this goes beyond Jesus' resurrection from the dead. This will begin to really focus on the ones whom Jesus will raise from the dead. How many in this room are a believer in Jesus? When you believed in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection, the old man inside of you died. A new man in Christ was raised up in its stead. You can say that this new man was, yes, raised up. But this means one other thing. That because we are new creatures in Christ, when we physically die, when we are physically buried, we will be raised from the dead. This old corruption will take on immortality. We will be in new, glorified bodies. This is the blessed hope of the believers. These Sadducees could never believe in anything like this. Yet at the heart of Christianity is Jesus raising us from the dead. And not just old man died, new man come to life. The physical resurrection of the dead, of those who believe. They were upset that Peter taught the resurrection from the dead. Yet that's what Jesus did. Gospel of John, are we still here? No one's run away, good. Gospel of John. Fifth chapter. In the early part of the chapter, the man that was sitting there all those years at the pool of Bethesda was healed by Jesus. Jesus did this on the Sabbath day. So when the man met the religious rulers, they questioned him about his healing. At first he didn't know who healed him. Then Jesus went and said, "Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." And what happened? The man promptly went back to the rulers and told them that Jesus healed him. And the rulers were upset and grouchy. Why? Because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. What they did not realize was that they were setting in motion one of the key teachings of Jesus that goes beyond the Sabbath day. Gospel of John chapter 5. Let's start with verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He does, these also does the Son likewise." So, what does Jesus do? going by what Jesus said, what he sees the Father do. Why does Jesus heal the sick? Because Jesus saw his Father do it. Why did Jesus perform miracles? Because he saw his Father do it. Why did Jesus deliver people and cast out devils? Because he saw his Father do it. Jesus did what his Father taught him to do. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. What are the greater works? Verse 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them. Quicken means to give life to. So what is Jesus establishing here? Jesus is establishing what? The Father raises up the dead. This is not symbolic. In reading some commentaries on it, they were saying this is symbolic. There is nothing symbolic about this. God raises the dead. Are we together on this? Why? Because Jesus said so. I saw my Father do this. As the Father what? Raises the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. Let's go back to what we have been looking at the last few services. Who raised up Jesus from the dead? God the Father. How did God raise Jesus from the dead? He raised him into a new, glorified body. That's why Jesus could go through doors. That's why Jesus could ascend to the Father. Because God raised him in a new, incorruptible, glorified body. Now, Jesus saw all of this. Amen? And what did it say in the prior verse? The Father will show the Son greater works than these, that ye may marvel. So what is the greater works that God is showing Jesus? The resurrection from the dead. Why will Jesus be able to raise us from the dead? Referring to the believers in Jesus. Because Jesus saw the Father do this. And after the Father did this, and place Jesus on his right hand, the Father will authorize Jesus to raise us incorruptible, glorified body to be with him through all eternity. God showed Jesus how this is done. Jesus experienced this firsthand. Now Jesus will perform this on the instruction of his Father. When is our resurrection taking place? At the direction of the Father. Are we together on this? Now who will do the raising? Jesus. Using who? The Holy Spirit. Remember, they all work together in this. So the Father will authorize our resurrection. Then Jesus will rise us from the dead through the Spirit. So when you see the word quicken, give life to. So let's read that verse again. For as the Father rises up the dead and gives life unto them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. So who is going to receive this life? Those who believe in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection. They're known as the one who Jesus will select to receive this life. Are we still here? Because we are chosen. Because we have the favor of God. We will be in incorruptible, raised bodies through all eternity. We are raised because of God's favor toward us. Are we still here? Let's keep moving. For as the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Who is the judge? What did Jesus just say? Jesus just said, the Father has committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus is the judge. Verse 23. That all men should honor the Son. What's going to happen? At some point, Jesus will be honored. What did Paul say? We sing it in an old traditional chorus. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For us who believes, this happens now. When we heard the gospel message, when we believed in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection, we believed in Jesus. We confessed Him as Lord and Savior. Our knees bowed and our tongues confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now for those who do not believe, when they face Jesus the judge, at that point, yes, their knee will bow. But they are bowing to the judge. Think of this in this natural example. In an American courtroom, before the proceedings start, what's the first line that begins the day? All rise for the honorable judge. And what does everyone do? They stand up. The prosecution stands up. The defense stands up. The defense, they're doing this because the judge walked in. Isn't going to affect one part of the ruling either way. In the same sense, when those who are sinful and are sinners, who never believed in Jesus, enter into the presence of their judge Jesus, no, they will not be all rising, but they will be on their knees, showing their respect to their Lord and Savior. Are we still here? Let's keep going. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me. Who is the one who sent Jesus? God the Father. You can say that God sent Jesus at two separate occasions. One, when he first came to earth, the birth. But there was a second sending of Jesus. What was that? God raising Jesus from the dead. And you can say there's going to be a third one. When's that? When Jesus comes back to rule and reign on the earth. Jesus' connection to this earth is always in connection with the line, He who sent me. When Jesus is here, it is because God the Father is sending him here. Now, what is the word for us right now as believers? We have heard it from Paul. When he first arrived in Corinth, what did he preach? Christ, cross, resurrection. When he first arrived in Thessalonica, Christ, cross, resurrection. The gospel that led to your salvation, Christ, cross, resurrection. That every man shall confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the message. The message of the church is the gospel message. Are we together on this? Now, we have heard the word. We believe that Jesus, the one sent by God the Father, is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Paul said in Romans 10. What happens? Has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's the resurrection. For us, the believers in Jesus, when we believe in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection, what's going to happen? Yes, there will be a moment if we are not here when the trumpet sounds and the rapture happens that we will pass by way of the grave. My grandparents believed in the rapture, but they went by way of the grave. My mom believed in the rapture. She drilled it into the heads of her children. But she went by way of the grave. Many a believer that I have known through the years, they believed in the rapture. But they went by way of the grave. They went with this promise, though, a blessed hope. The blessed hope that Jesus talked about. Everlasting life. As in what? We will live forever. So what happens? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As Jesus said, is passed from physical death unto life. We do not sit in the grave, nor will we spend any time in hell. Why? Shall not come into condemnation. Let's look at the picture of this. Those who are not believers in Jesus, they will pass, when they die, into hell. They're not sitting in the grave. Oh, their physical body might. Their DNA might. but they have passed on the road to condemnation. American justice system again. When one is arrested, after they are booked and arraigned, in this county, they usually go to county jail. And there they await trial. They are already in the judicial system. They are facing the condemnation of the state. Then the trial is held, and then they're found guilty. They are sentenced to prison. Where do you think we get this pattern of justice from? Do you think we, in this culture, came up with this on our own? Remember that the founders, for the last 2,000 years, not just the U.S. justice system, but if you go back to English common law and things like that, it's a Christian culture. They are detained, arrested, then tried, then final sentence is passed. From hell to the great white throne judgment. And when found guilty, an eternity in the lake of fire. They will face condemnation. That is a fact. Now, what did Jesus say here? He that hears my word. How many has heard the gospel message? How many has believed in the gospel message? Yes. How many believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yes. How many believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? We do. How many believes that God will raise us through Jesus from the dead? No condemnation. Why? We have no charges filed against us. Think about this. Before we believed in the gospel message, we had charges against us. Oh, we were not arrested yet. That doesn't happen until after death. But we had charges against us. But then we heard the gospel message. And we believed in the gospel message. The Christ, the cross, the resurrection. What happened? I know I could say the charges were dropped, but it was more than that. A complete and total pardon from the sin. A complete and total pardon. There is no charges filed against us. The charges weren't dropped. The charges were pardoned completely. Because the charges were pardoned, there is no criminal accusation against us whatsoever in the eyes of God. Because there is no criminal charges. There is no need for an arrest, for a trip to hell, for a trial at the great white throne judgment, for a verdict or a sentence, or the sentence being carried out. Why? Because the blood of Jesus pardoned our sins. There is no condemnation. Pass from death unto life. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Let's just tie this tonight. to the believers. Next Friday, we'll look more on what's going to happen to those who do not believe. Let's just tie this into us, the believers in Jesus tonight. What's going to happen? We will hear the trumpet sound. And when the trumpet sounds, those who are with Jesus, passing from death unto life, yes, they will come back with Jesus, new glorified bodies, be with Him. Those which are here, caught up to be with Him. Believers in Jesus, we do not face an eternity in the lake of fire. We will be in glorified bodies. We will be raised incorruptible. We will live forevermore. As believers, I know so many want to talk about heaven as pie in the sky, or insurance policy, or whatever. But the word the Bible uses is blessed hope. This is what we are expecting. This is what we are believing in. Are we still here?
Yeah.
This is what it is about. God raised Jesus from the dead, so Jesus can raise us incorruptible to be with Him. We cannot distance ourselves from the resurrection nor being with Jesus. This is something we should be hinging our hope on. The Apostle Paul is clear. If there is no resurrection, there's no reason to believe. But because there is a resurrection, there is a real reason to believe. As believers, we should rejoice because we will be raised to be with Jesus. Let's stand across the church tonight. Hallelujah.